Welcome back to The Bottom Line on KCPW. I'm Doug Wells, and today I'm happy to share with you another Startup Spotlight interview. These are shorter interviews that focuses on the earlier stages of a company's development. Today we are speaking with CEO Joe Lowry. He is the founder of SalesBridge. Joe, welcome to The Bottom Line.
Thanks very much, Doug. Glad to be here.
So let's just jump right in. What does SalesBridge do?
Well, SalesBridge is a SaaS platform that automates follow-up, scheduling, and data entry so that salespeople can focus more on actually interacting with customers and stay in that sales flow without having to context switch with all the little busy work things that we all get tied up with every single day.
And is the primary goal to save the salesperson time, or just to make sure all these things that need to be done to make sure, you know, it's a funnel and you got to follow up, make sure all those pieces are being done?
You hit both of those things are very important, right? I mean, first and foremost, we know that from recent studies, everybody, not just salespeople, burn about 8 hours a week in just busy work, right? So that's a full day of your business week is just gone, right? Looking things up, checking your sent email folder. What did I say to Doug last time I talked to him? Trying to, like, you know, just process the daily grind of talking with people. And so SalesBridge really wants to attack both of those areas. The first one is, yeah, of course we want to help get some of those 8 hours back. Our most recent studies are showing that we're getting at least 4 to 7 of those back for our existing customers already. But then on top of that, we want to make sure that you have more swings at the plate, if you will. And follow-up is really the key to that. So you have all this top-line, front-end funnel stuff that's coming in from marketing and from other areas. And what happens is most salespeople will quit after 1 or 2 attempts. When you think about it, recent studies actually show it's 7 to 9 personal touches before someone will convert into your sales funnel. And so we really want to help make sure that salespeople not only can do more with the time they have, be more efficient, but also make them much more productive in that time.
So the bottom line typically is focusing on later stage companies. And we were fortunate to have David Elkington join us a couple, maybe 18 months ago, InsideSales.com. A lot of sales automation tools. How is what you're doing different than maybe what an Inside Sales is doing?
That's a great question. And Inside Sales is a fantastic company. We're so proud to have them here based out of Utah. Ken Krogh actually was one of my first bosses ever back at the Franklin Covey Company. And so with him and Dave doing this, it's just marvelous. The way that we see ourselves different is they're inside sales, meaning they're really rooted to people who are staying at a terminal most of the day. And our system is a SaaS-based platform. So I'm not really interested in sort of trying to govern what every single step of the sales process is. I'm going after more of those what we call full-stack salespeople who have to do lead gen, lead qualification, set their appointments, follow up, close the deal, make sure the contracts go out. And so we would typically call those regional sales managers, or sometimes you're in a smaller organization that perhaps has 5 to 50 salespeople as opposed to 50 to 5,000 salespeople. And that's really what our platform is designed to do, so that no matter where you are, you're in line for lunch, you can use our platform and follow up right on your phone, no additional software needed, no special app to download, and it basically enables a salesperson on any platform, any mail client, any calendar client, and multiple CRM systems.
Excellent. So let's talk about your personal journey.
Sure.
You said Ken Krogh was your first boss. He's a great first boss to have.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you started off in sales.
I did. I've been in sales for over 20 years. I really started in high school. I got lucky with my physical size where I was able to trick people into thinking I was older than I was. And was actually standing around goofing off with my brother one day, and a guy came up who worked for a financial services company. And he just said, "Hey, do you guys want to come make some cold calls and help me find some clients?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." So we would go down. I grew up in Southern California. We'd go down to his office building in Pasadena, downtown Pasadena, and I'd get in my little wheelchair at, you know, 15 years old and start banging cold calls to try to find people, this financial services agent clients. And he gave me a script, and you just learn pretty quick after, you know, 50 or 60 of those in a couple
of
hours.
Most people would do that for a couple hours and say, you know, this really isn't for me. You obviously had some success early on that hooked you and kept you going. What was that experience like?
You know, I think for me what was the most interesting part of that was to learn how to treat people as people on the phone as opposed to reading the script. And something kind of clicked for me. I don't know if I heard maybe some other agents around me, or I just don't like reading from a script a whole lot. So I sort of would improvise and, just talk to people. And it was interesting how in talking to them, they would find themselves engaging, right? Which is part of the sales process. You got to interrupt them. You got to engage them. Then you got to educate them. Then you got to commit them. And so I didn't know those steps at the time, but that was just part of that overall learning. And I really enjoy talking to people, as you can probably tell.
Excellent. So how long did you do sales? And is this your first startup?
This is not our first startup. In fact, our last one was a company called Symphonics. My co-founder Trevor Paskin and I started that back in 2004 and went with that company for almost 10 years and then eventually led that to an acquisition. And then this is the result of the frustrations we had at the last one. So SalesBridge was born out of not being able to help good people get the kind of technology that would enable them to maximize their efforts. And that's really what we wanted to build.
And you know, that's the key as a company owner, your customers, as a sales manager, whoever that person is, it's really your job as one of the leaders in the company to make it easy for your team to succeed. If it's really hard for your team to succeed, there's probably some things you need to change in the company.
That's well said. I think pulling down barriers, I think as a leader, and sometimes it's not title, right? You have people in your company that are influencers that maybe don't have the title of director or VP or a C-level title, but they're influencers. And if you're smart, you find those people and you talk to them like human beings and you ask them, what's frustrating you? What about your job right now is not giving you the ability to be more successful? And if you're honest, they'll tell you. And then that's when the leadership part comes in, right? Because someone just came and told you that the process that you put in place to help onboard more resellers or help close more deals or help be more accurate in your quoting doesn't work well. And now you got to go pull the team together that put that process together and say, all right, this is not helping our end customer, which in this case is our sales team or our marketing team or whoever. And being able to sort of say best idea wins as opposed to, wait, this was my idea, right? And that's well said.
So you mentioned that this company came out of Symphonics.
Yeah.
Some of the frustrations you experienced in Symphonics. What did Symphonics do?
So Symphonics built basically content filtering and bandwidth management devices. So we would go install them in a lot of public school systems, law offices, just anywhere where someone needed to regulate how much the internet was available. And so that was an amazing journey. We started from just an idea, and my co-founder Trevor again built this, basically architected this whole solution, which at the end of that run, we had a SaaS platform that was processing billions of web requests every single day, and that's really impressive.
That is impressive. If you're just joining us, our guest is startup entrepreneur Joe Lowry. He is the CEO and founder of SalesBridge. Symphonics started in 2004. If I'm not mistaken, that's the same year YouTube started.
Yeah, that's right.
And probably created many of the challenges that Symphonics was trying to control for your customers.
That's exactly right. And so what we sort of stumbled along in that area. We originally built the devices to regulate how much bandwidth could be assigned per application in an organization. Email was more important than YouTube, as a good example. And as we would get the devices out into the market, the more and more we got feedback from our customers, the more and more the idea of being able to block certain kinds of content in very specific types of installations became a priority. So we got really good at content filtering, and then that gave us a unique advantage to be able to do this bandwidth management plus content filtering as we
move forward. Was a 10-year journey. That's a long
time. It's a long time, yeah.
What was it about that experience that said, you know, I want to do another startup?
Wow. Probably my co-founder. I mean, Trevor and I are just really unique in the sense that when we sit in a room on a whiteboard and I start to, you know, verbally eject ideas at a rapid pace, he just sits there, nods his head, and can somehow distill all the craziness into a very effective, usable product. And we've always had that relationship since the first time we met. And so we were so frustrated at Symphonix because we had good salespeople, but we didn't have any sales data. So I couldn't tell you why my Northwest guy was really, really good and my Southeast guy wasn't, because I had no specific detail on why one did something other than the other, than differently than the other one. And that's really what started the journey to say, I don't want to monitor you as a salesperson to be Big Brother. I want to monitor you because I can't coach you unless I know what's happening in your day-to-day operations. And from that information really came the idea that even the best of us don't follow up enough. That it just point blank. Sales are not sales, right? I mean, this is just people, right? We assume that the person on the other end of the phone call or the email doesn't want to talk to us. And most of the times, that's not the case. They're just really busy.
I was going to say, it's going to be a long day if that's your framework.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you can't have that. So you and your co-founder have a lot of experience in the startup space, and you still decided to join the Boom Startup Program, which is the organization that we're kind of piggybacking off of the last class that just graduated for this series of interviews. You were amongst the graduating companies. What was it you were hoping to get out of the Boom Startup experience?
Well, we had some pretty great investors right before we entered Boom. And so we bounced the idea off of what could we get from this in terms of a process, in terms of learning. And everyone kind of came down to the same thing. There are really good people involved with Boom Startup, and their networks are really good. So if you want to learn how to expand your existing network and get a hold of some really intelligent, well-experienced mentors, that's a place to go. And so we were excited by that. Excuse me, my partner and I, neither one of us are really great at marketing or we would call it growth hacking now. Everyone calls it growth hacking. And I can say a lot of words. I can't write very well for my liking, for my taste. And we wanted to meet people who had experience in that spot. And that's really why we decided to go is the networks of the people, the quality of the people involved with Boom Startup and their networks, and then try to find some people to help us with this next journey, kind of growth hack our way up. And we have.
No, that makes a lot of sense. You mentioned having success early on just before you got in the Boom Startup Program. During your demo day presentation, there was a video by Greg Warnock, who's a local venture capitalist, whose his firm Mercado has done quite well. And we've had Greg on as a guest on this show. Greg typically doesn't invest in early stage, and I know he did this as a personal investment, not through Mercado. What was it? How do you think you were able to get him excited about what you were doing and to be one of your first investors?
Well, first and foremost, he was an early investor in Symphonix, and Symphonix had some troubled times. And I think that Trevor and I, partly because we're not sure how else to process it, we just went and told the truth to the board and said, here's what's going on. And we were able to make some intelligent moves that helped correct that and eventually lead to a positive outcome. And I think that earned some trust with Greg there to be able to go back to him and say, hey, we've got this other idea. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say one of the first things that Greg did was introduce us to his sons. And so Davis and Jensen, who are also incredibly intelligent, caring investors, worked with us first and really helped mentor and ask a lot of really good questions and kind of help us set up so that as we got to the part where we are now, where we actually have a product and we have started selling, that we're really ready to go. And so that whole Warnock clan there has been a great friendship and mentorship.
Yeah,
for us.
No, I've met Greg's sons as well, and Greg's been very deliberate in the types of experiences that he has helped create for them. So that's been wonderful. One wrap up question: you mentioned at Symphonix some challenging times and being candid with the board. You know, that's a challenge for any entrepreneur, and having gone through the experience that you did, what's your advice for entrepreneurs in what their relationship with their board should be?
Well, first of all, pick board members that you can communicate with. Don't pick a board member because they've got a great name, reputation, or title, but they won't talk to you. you're going to screw up. You're going to have hard times. You're going to run out of things. You're going to make mistakes. And if you have a board who's not willing to help correct you, that's going to be trouble. And so we were fortunate. We had an amazing board, amazing group of people who were very honest with us. And that is a hard lesson sometimes. It's not the most fun to get sat down and say, here's where you're messing up. But that's the piece of advice I'd offer is make sure that you have a communication with your board that is meaningful, that where you can ask them, I'm having this problem, and they will tell you, and this is what you probably should do about it or fix yourself.
That's great advice. Joe, thank you for joining us on The Bottom Line.
So glad to be here.
Our guest this morning has been Joe Lowry. He is the CEO and founder of SalesBridge. We'd also like to thank our friends at Boom Startup, which is a Utah-based accelerator that we talked about in today's interview, that over several months nourishes and, more importantly, mentors companies. Today's show was recorded at the KCPW Studios on Library Square and produced by Ross Chambliss. You can hear our entire interview on the website, kcpw.org. You can tweet me at Savvy Wells or at KCPW Bottom Line. I'm Doug Wells. Join us next week on The Bottom Line.